God's grace, mercy, and peace are yours, a gift from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from Psalm 122, the first verse. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, in whom we are God's children, and because of whom we are here for worship, fellow redeemed in his precious blood. For many, if not all of you, the trip to our place of worship this morning was uphill. We do it all the time. We probably don't think anything of it, except perhaps during the winter. It's just part of life in the rugged landscape that is the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. When the Israelites traveled to Jerusalem to worship the Lord in his temple, the trip was on foot and, for many of them, literally uphill. The trip uphill is borne witness to in the fact that this 122nd Psalm is called a Psalm of Ascent, or a song of going up. This is one of 15 psalms of ascent that were sung by pilgrims as they made their way up to Jerusalem for worship. And they may also have been sung as they mounted the 15 steps that led to the Temple Mount. When God gave David the throne, he came to live up in Jerusalem, on a hill south of the Temple Mount called Mount Zion. While David lived in Jerusalem as a man, as a boy he grew up in Bethlehem, which was 5.5 miles south of Jerusalem. While downhill on the map, Bethlehem was actually higher in the Judean mountains than Jerusalem was. Still, for the Jews, the trip to Jerusalem was always up, going up to the house of the Lord. Now, we might assume that David made that trip to Jerusalem many times as a child. 5 miles, what's that, right? That's nothing for us. But it wasn't as often as you might think. You drive in here to church, perhaps every Sunday. When David was a child, they didn't go up to Jerusalem for worship every Sabbath day. No, there was a synagogue in Bethlehem where they gathered on the Sabbath to hear the word of God proclaimed and explained to them. There were only certain festivals that were required that they attend in Jerusalem. And on those occasions, a great company of pilgrims would travel together up to Jerusalem. In the first verse of this 122nd Psalm, David remembers what it was like to be invited to go up to Jerusalem to the house of the Lord for worship. It was for him a joyful opportunity. Our purpose in meditating upon these words is to remember why we gather for worship and why it is to be to us a joyful opportunity. We begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, you work in us both to desire and to live according to your will. Strengthen us in both body and soul so that we do what is pleasing to you and beneficial to others. Compel us by the love of Jesus and empower us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that we may be witnesses to your gospel in both our words and our actions. We ask this in the name of your Son, who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for all. Amen. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." There are many times when we are excited to come here to this place. There are also times when it might prove to make us anxious. We're excited to come here, for example, to attend a wedding. That's always a joyful thing. We're excited to come here on festival days like Christmas Eve, Easter Sunday. But it can also be an anxious thing to attend worship here in bad weather, or if we've been absent for a long time, or if we are individually caught up in a sin and it's weighing heavily on our conscience. When the caravan of people headed up to Jerusalem, they invited David to go with them to the house of the Lord. David was excited. He rejoiced to go to the house of the Lord. Chances are, when we hear that expression, the house of the Lord, we probably think of the temple building in Jerusalem. But perhaps you remember that during his lifetime, David never saw the temple of the Lord, because it was his son Solomon that built it. When David speaks of the temple of the Lord, he's talking about that movable tent called the tabernacle that was put together by the Israelites, delivered by God from slavery in Egypt and led by Moses. It was the tabernacle, a tent, that David was thinking of when he said that he was glad to go to the house of the Lord. Now, if you take the time this afternoon to read the other 8 verses of this very short psalm, then you'll read all about the city of Jerusalem, where the tabernacle was set up. But David wasn't merely happy to get out of Bethlehem, to get out of town, or to go to the big city. The reason that he looked forward to going up to Jerusalem was the opportunity to worship the Lord. It wasn't the journey itself. It was its purpose. So also, when we come here, whether it be on Sunday morning or during the week on a Wednesday evening or some other day of the year, we may enjoy different things about gathering here. We may enjoy catching up with people we've known for many years. We may enjoy sitting next to family members and singing together. We may even like to reminisce about other times that we've come here in the past. But our primary purpose is always to worship the Lord. We come to confess our sins, to rejoice in his forgiveness in Christ, and to sing his praise. I know you know that, but we sometimes need to be reminded. In many ways, the time we spend with each other is like dessert after a fantastic meal. The meal, the substance we need. The dessert, not always. We come first to feed our souls, to receive the Word of God, and grow in faith and knowledge. And then the dessert. So do you think that David was always happy to go to the house of the Lord? Probably not. David may have been a man after God's own heart, according to Scripture, but he wasn't sinless. In fact, there was a time during his life, after his sin with Bathsheba, that he must have found it difficult to go to the house of the Lord. After all, he had sinned with another man's wife. He'd seen to the murder of that other man. He had arranged to take her as his own wife. The guilt on his soul was not removed for a lengthy time because he did not come confessing his sin. The Holy Spirit would later lead him to write of that portion of his life like this: "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer." Is our worship always a joyful thing? Probably not. But surely we understand the joy of which David speaks here, especially in view of the last 6 months or so. For 9 weeks, from March the 22nd until May the 31st, we voluntarily stayed at home and worshiped in front of the television. You haven't forgot that yet, have you? Let's take a moment to think back on those weeks. It was strange at first, wasn't it? not to travel to this place of worship uphill each week and gather together. But after a while, perhaps we got used to sitting on the couch and watching worship on the television screen. And perhaps in a time, you also participated to a degree, as much as that's possible, with the television. And then on May 31st, Pentecost, we resumed face-to-face worship with the changes you see today. Do you remember how strange and wonderful it was to come again to worship? Were you glad to come to the house of the Lord? Were you a little nervous, a little unsure? Or did you say to yourself, "This is wonderful. I'm so happy to be here"? I'll leave you to answer that in your own heart and mind. Now let's fast forward to today. Do you know that last week was the 10th week since our worship resumed? Are we still just as joyful to come to the house of the Lord as we were that first week? Or has it lost its luster in a way? Do we still appreciate the opportunity that we have? Or do we take it for granted? Do we, each one of us, say each week, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord'"? Or would we appreciate it a bit more if we had to take 10 weeks off again? If we look at worship as a habit, a necessity, rather than an opportunity, it kind of loses its luster, doesn't it? It's a bit like the joy of the resurrection. We're bubbling over with it on Easter Sunday. But 3 weeks later, our zeal is flagging. The psalm doesn't say, "I was mostly glad," or "I was sometimes glad." And it shouldn't be that way. But because of our sinful natures, it is that way. We sometimes don't appreciate the blessings that are communicated to us in worship. We may from time to time think of it more of a burden than a blessing. Instead of considering the great blessings that can be ours through Bible study, for example, we sometimes look for reasons why we can't attend. And we may even occasionally attend for the wrong reasons, for the sake of others, so that they see us, not because of our personal need of Jesus' love and forgiveness. We may attend merely because it's a habit, not because we see it as an opportunity to worship our Creator and Redeemer, who has given us life and provided the necessities of body and soul. We may simply skip it because we'd rather be doing something else, somewhere else, or because perhaps we think we know all we need to. When we place other things as more important than the Lord and His Word, we sin. We should say each week, "I can't wait to hear the voice of my Savior." But it just isn't that way. That's not a minor infraction either. That is a big deal. Why do we worship then? And how can our worship be joyful again? Let's remember why we're here. We're here because God sent His one and only Son into human flesh and blood to live the sinless life demanded of us, and then to die burdened with our sins to atone for our misplaced values and our sinful attitudes. We gather here in the house of the Lord because Jesus died for us to erase all of our mistakes, sins, and wickedness. We sing His praise because He's made us children of God through faith in His living, dying, and rising again. We rejoice to hear of His unchanging love and to be assured that our sins are forgiven in those simple words, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." It is a tremendous opportunity. Let us be glad when we come to the house of the Lord. Let's gather for worship, not merely to measure up to the words of an ancient psalm or to earn favor with God, perish the thought, but because it is an opportunity to hear again from Jesus. Let us always gather for worship because of him, without whom we would be lost and condemned sinners. Let us return joyful and refreshed because of him. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.